Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button. Last Gnomesmas saw our intrepid trio finally get their heart's desire.
Santa baby, yes. you are in Hydale, the capital of the Candanese Empire. Chili, you have finally found a wizard who you believe can disenchant the hat that allows you to live. Oi, come back. You sit on your throne of skulls.
But now they're back to once more spread Gnomesmas cheer.
Ho, ho, gnomes!
Oh, my God.
You, the defenders of Gnomesmas, have been called forth again.
I never signed up for this.
Gnomesmas is once more in threat. This time, it's more than just Gnomesmas that's under threat. There's a whole multiverse out there of Gnomesmas-like celebrations. And they're all being drained mysteriously. Oh, ho, gnomes.
What are you doing?
Some mysterious event has happened in one of these multiple universes. Ho, ho, gnomes. And it's affecting Gnomesmas throughout. I need to send you there to a place called Earth.
Get into the spirit these holidays with the 2021 D&Ds for Nerds End of Year Special. Available now from sanspantsradio.com. It's a wholesome campaign the whole family can enjoy. So grab your nog, plop a roasted mallow in your mouth, wish your neighbour a Merry Gnomesmas, and once again, head to sanspantsradio.com to enjoy the only Dungeons & Dragons-based adventure that might get a cease and desist letter from Netflix. You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Previously on Stories from the Grey Hill Free Company.
A gnome by the name of Yim came into this area. He's got strange contraptions kicking about. Notes this as Yim Thimblewimble Farm.
Hang on, so this property has not been ravaged by locusts at all?
No.
This is very cute. So what kind of people do come around? Zay Miller, is that a name?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Zamilla, all right, and who are they? Is there like a window there I can look through?
Yeah, there's a little window in the door.
I'll look through the window.
It looks like the window has been blacked out.
I'll open the door.
As you open the door, the second the door begins moving, you hear... Well, howdy there. Can I help you?
Hello.
Greetings.
We're here investigating the locusts.
She looks like a, for lack of a better term, a witch of the swamp. Oh, she can't talk. Her name is Ziamia.
Ziamia. How do you know her name then?
We have other methods of communicating, I suppose.
You're right.
She says, and she points to her mouth.
I put it on my tongue.
She makes like a swallowing sound.
I swallow it.
You immediately see, you're like transported. You realize you're seeing someone else's memory, specifically Ziamia's memory. You're standing on a hill looking out at the farmsteads, watching locusts move their way in between crops, killing animals and devouring whatever they can. You realize your hands are out in front of you. You, for a second, you keep forgetting that you are not Ziamia. You are experiencing this as her. Excellent. You realize it is her hands, not your hands, out in front, slowly guiding the locusts, making them move and consume.
Okay.
Then you're back in the little alchemy lab.
Did I feel like I was making the locusts move and consume, or did I feel like I was trying to stop them from doing too much damage?
It was not a memory of emotion. It was just a memory of place and feeling. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was not a memory of a feeling, as in like sensation, touch, and stuff like that. Not, You just had a physical memory, not an emotional one.
Okay. So you control the locusts, yes?
She nods.
So why are you causing them to eat everything?
She opens her mouth, seems a little confused, looks at Yim. Yim is setting cups of tea down and gestures for all of you to sit down. I suppose it's the sort of thing that you want to show someone rather than instruct them anyway. So I guess this is the perfect, you're the perfect person to explain this. Ziamia nods her head, pulls out another one of those little brain worms. She hands it to you, Global. She hands one to you as well.
Yes, thank you. I wish I could give you one back.
Yes, we'll...
You are physically, you are Ziamia again. And every now and then you forget that you are not Ziamia. It feels so real that you are... What you were experiencing feels so real. You are underground somewhere in some strange dungeon complex. The walls are very well-carved, made stone. Looking at them... neither of you know their origin, but they look somewhat alien to both of you. You've not seen any, you've not seen walls made or designed in this fashion before. They're certainly not human, whatever they are. But you are walking through this underground complex. There are pipes and, so the walls are made out of stone, but there are, in addition to that, pipes and gears and pulley systems incorporated into the walls. They are made out of brass. You're walking through, and you come to a massive, like a large underground space. All, once again, still worked stone with these strange contraptions incorporated into the walls. You look up and follow the pipes as they lead to some sort of great contraption in the center of this room. You can see that there is like skeletons all over the place, not animated skeletons, like corpses. Skeletons all over the place, and you can see that there is a vast conveyor belt going into and then coming out of the machine. You walk into the room and you see like your hand manipulates, and you get the sense for Glupple, this is common. This is something you've experienced before. Tree Stump, for the first time in your life, when you're moving your hand about, you feel the magical weave. You feel it like in between your fingers as Ziamia. And then turning over your hand, you conjure forth a ball of light. You use that to see. You move around to the other side of the machine, and you can see that it is attempting to assemble golems, iron golems. You can see that every time it puts an iron golem together, though, and then it continues on the conveyor belt, the iron golem kind of just falls apart as soon as it leaves the machine. There is a part of the machine, you begin getting in close, you're looking at the machine as it works, and you see that there is one part of the machine where it's obviously trying to stuff the inside of the iron golem with something, and it is not able to do that part. It's missing something. And so the iron golems, when they get completed, they just fall apart. They don't work. Tree Stump, you know Dwarven, but you can't read. There's Dwarven text on the side. You've done this before, such that you know that it's Dwarven text, but you don't know what you're looking at. In addition to the Dwarven text, there is a depiction of a reed and a depiction of a cow, two pictograms. They're in on one of the input conveyors. They are on that, but that input conveyor, nothing is going through it.
Okay.
And then you're back underground.
So the skeletons, were human skeletons? The skeletons, were they always skeletons? The skeletons, were they human skeletons?
No, they looked like animal.
So the animal skeletons. Yeah. Okay, so someone is making golems.
She knows.
Iron golems. And you're using, is it the animal bones that look like they've been picked?
They look bleached, they look like they've been there for centuries.
So, okay, not like, say, they've been picked, like, say, through locusts.
No.
Okay. So you're creating iron golems. Someone
she shakes
is
her
here
head. Create. She nods when you say someone is.
Someone. And I look at Zim.
He shakes his head. I've been brought in as kind of like an independent contractor, if you will. I'm probably the closest person who understands what this machine could be. Anyway, this machine is some sort of contraption that constructs, as you saw, it attempts to make iron golems, but it needs living matter. It's not important, but in magic, you can't really like create life without adding life, or you got to have some life to make life, if you kind of know my meaning.
But that makes sense.
So the machine takes lesser quotation marks forms of life, things like cattle or crops, takes them, and then it kind of makes them into, well, for lack of a better term, it makes them into like a life juice. And
I want to like just try not to be like just a look of disgust.
Whatever this contraption is, it's maybe old dwarven, maybe old gnomish. I'm not really sure exactly what it is either, but I understand the basic principle of what it is. It's trying to make an army, but it's not got the materials to do it. And Ziamia is just, I suppose, concerned that there is, an abundance of material nearby. Apparently this machine has, and then he looks at Ziamia, who's nodding along, confirming this. And then it looks like this machine, she's been there before. It was off. Mm. Someone has turned it on. And then presumably might be looking for the material to make an army.
Okay. So let me get this right. So, Ziamia, you were exploring?
She nods.
Okay. So you're exploring and you found this particular construction, potentially dwarven made, that was there to construct iron golems, let's say, for an army. And it would take whatever life there was and make these golems, yes?
She nods.
And so it's in the surrounding area, yes? Where the location of this... It's in the surrounding area. So I'm just trying to work out how you got from A to B. So you figured... someone has come in and turned this machine on to create an army.
She nods.
And the abundance of, say, animal life, wheat life, or plant life that is in these farmlands, you were very concerned that they were coming to grab, say, all of that and put that, say, into the machine to create their army. And you having a hard way of communicating the problem, so you decided to just take it into your own hands and use the locust, yes.
She pulls at her mind again, creating brain worms for you to consume.
Won't they just take the locusts?
That's also what I'm thinking. Like, couldn't they just use the locusts as a form of... Well, I'll ask that question in a second.
Okay.
You see, you are Ziamia, and you are running. Your heart is like going a mile a minute in your chest. You look over your shoulder and you see as a plow nearly collides with your head. A bunch of farmers behind you are chasing you. You're back underground.
So when you tried to communicate with the farmers, they saw you as some kind of something to be attacked, yes.
She nods.
That is very unfortunate. I'm very sorry for you.
Why didn't you write it down?
Well, it's hard to write when you're running, Tristan.
She nods.
I want to like maybe take her hand in mine.
You don't really, you've never done it before. It could be easy to do while running.
I just don't know why you wouldn't try riding something if you could. Why? That's so impressive. Why wouldn't you do it all the time? I would.
I want to maybe just take her hands and just be like, I'm so sorry you've been treated such a way.
She shrugs.
I understand.
She seems used to it, which is almost sad.
Sadder, yes. Sadder, sorry. No. Yeah. No. You don't shrug. I'm very sorry. It's people can be very cruel to things they do not understand. Right. Well, look, I commend you for your out-the-box way of thinking in terms of denying the iron golem construction, it's, I guess, supplies. But perhaps that's probably not the best way to go about this.
It still made everything die that you were trying to save.
Well, yes, but the person's getting an army here, Tree Stump.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's better than... idea here is that it's the lesser of two evils. Look, I'm not thrilled that this has happened either. I was also trying to convince Zia Mia that there was another way. She was basically, because she had no idea how the contraption worked, I'm trying to explain to her, well, I have explained to her, but I think it is possible to simply destroy this machine.
Is it made out of metal and stuff like that? Yeah. It seems like there's cogs
in it. Specifically. It will be resistant to magical attempts to tamper with it, but I thankfully, or at least I've got an idea, an inkling of where its fault lines might be.
Right. Well, okay. So I guess I'd like to confer with the other, like the team members of our trip party.
This seems important. I think we should go.
Yes, we probably need to get rid of this machine, whatever it is. Maybe try and find out who was constructing an army, if it was turned on by accident or if, if it's a deliberate action, because that could produce thousands of iron golems in days.
It could. It's very scary.
It's a
scary
prospect.
But if we break it, can't they just fix it?
We
should find the person who made it. You're right. Because they can just fix it if it's
broke. The people who made the contraption are probably long dead, I would imagine. But the people who reactivated it would certainly be nearby.
Right. It'd be hard to say, like, well, dwarves seem so irresponsible, you know, at this point in time. They've just left this contraption, just kind of milling about whatever the hell is that we unleashed underground. It just seems dwarves.
That was something else. You don't really know what happened there. Yeah, there was a war really, between dwarves, but that thing that got released, that might be unrelated.
For this one, if they're like, we can't let it fall into the wrong hands, but it's in their hands, and they're like, well, it's in our hands, so it's fine.
Yeah, I was like, I want to be like something about dwarves, but yeah, all this seems to be really all about the dwarves right now, so I'll maybe just bite my tongue. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Joel Zammit here from either the podcast you're currently listening to or some other podcast like, let's say, I don't know, Baseless Speculation, rudely interrupting your good times to tell you about another podcast I do called Baseless Speculation. Do you often find yourself looking at a new Spider-Man trailer and thinking to yourself, oh, I wonder how Sony are going to shit the bed on this one? Or perhaps you're a big fan of X-Men and will ponder how they would even show the Krakoan era of mutants on the silver screen. Or maybe there's some news that some fucking guy is going to play Mario in the upcoming film Mario about that plumber Mario and his brother Luigi. And you think to yourself, I wonder what they're going to do there. Why do these plumbers keep jumping on turtles? Us. So we made a show about it where we baselessly speculate on upcoming films, TV shows, and more. So join me and my beautiful co-hosts, Jackson Bailey and Joel Dusha, who you might know from either this very podcast or another, on Baseless Speculation. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon are doing a podcast thing now. You can find us there if you'd like. Google? They have Google Podcasts now. Really, there's never been a better time to search for podcasts, especially ones called Baseless Speculation. Yeah, well, perhaps we should... should we head there first? Should we try it? I'm so sorry to ask you more questions, Zimia. Do you know, or did you perhaps see anybody who was turned on the machine? You said you'd been there before. Right. And you don't have to answer this, so don't feel you have to. But why were you looking, or what were you doing that made you discover it?
She seems to think about that one for a second. Instead of giving you like a brain worm, she just like there's a pen and paper. Oh, you've been having tea, by the way. You're having tea and gnomeberry biscuits. Gnomeberries are raspberries.
They're gnomeberries.
Yeah, depending who you talk to, they're either raspberries or gnomeberries. And that depending is if you're talking to a gnome or anyone else. you're having tea and gnomeberry biscuits. The tea as well is a probably gnomeberry, but a different type of gnomeberry, strawberry. Mm-hmm. Once again, it depends on who you're talking to.
These taste a little bit like kobold berries, but I won't make a new one. They're delicious.
So yeah, kobold berry is spit.
Just a mashed up bit of dirt that they've hucked on.
Here you go.
There you go. Yeah. Fresh out of the oven.
Kobold berry juice. Kobold berry juice.
Delicious, kobold. I love this drink. Yum.
Anyway. Yes. Yeah, you're having some delicious fruity tea and fruity biscuits while you're having this conversation. She grabs a pen, a pad, and a ink quill, and then writes out for you, "I just like to wander."
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no, yes, no, I get that. Can someone read that to me, please, actually?
she says she likes to wander.
Oh, me too.
Yes. Some of us do get that wanderlust. I think maybe that's part of the reason why some of us are here today, is that we want to explore a bit further. By the way, the tea and stuff, that surely that must taste different than, say, like a Lacanthan's taste bud, right? Like, their tongue is probably more suited to, say, underwater and mouthfuls of fish.
Well, I wouldn't say... this would taste probably a lot sweeter than your... So you've also got a human brain now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
you might not even, unless you were consciously thinking about it, you might not even notice that your taste is different.
Okay. Only when I'm probably having a meal I enjoyed prior.
Yeah,
you'd be like, oh. Whereas this gnome berry, I don't know, I've never
it's
experienced
like
a gnome berry.
A lot more sweet, because you probably have a lot more sweet taste buds now. So it's a lot sweeter than you're used to, but also your brain is accustomed to that. So,
And also, like, sweet is good, so.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could take us to where this contraption is, or at least draw us a map.
Yim says, "I can't come with you, unfortunately. I got two bum legs and a bum arm. I'm a
that's fine.
This is my retirement, but I can instruct you on how to break this contraption. What you'll want to do, and this might sound stupid, but what you want to do is you want to flood it. Nearby, it looks like those piping that we saw, those steam pipes and whatnot, they'll have access to some sort of underground river, so there should be one near enough. What you want to do is just flood that chamber, and that should break the machine pretty permanently, too. Yeah.
That seems simple enough.
Okay, cool. All right, we can get to it. I can move some water.
I would be careful about trying to attack the machine directly. It looks mostly mechanical, like I wouldn't actually expect any part of it to fight back, but. I'd just be cautious is all.
Yes, no. We've experienced some abandoned dwarven ruins before, and some things were still operating.
Yeah, the dwarves that used to live in this area eons ago, they were very warlike, I suppose. They kind of destroyed themselves through it. Gnomish lore from that time is a bit sketchy indeed, but we understand that there was a period that the gnomes, my people like to call the period of Haydn, where they constructed some sort of awful weapon that, well, it destroyed them, and we had to retreat within our cities till it passed.
These dwarves would be very similar to like who had the other dwarven fortress that we've recently
it's the same
been to.
Same area,
same kind of like area. Yeah. I think we've we definitely uncovered some aftermath of perhaps the hiding. As it were.
Yeah, the dwarves down here not dissimilar to. This is kind of. Very broad, maybe uninteresting for you, but they're, the periods before humans became prevalent upon this world were marked by very warlike races. The elves were the same to the north. Mm. They used to be incredibly warlike as well. Lots of terrible magical weapons being constructed during that period. Things that have been buried rather than been destroyed rather than buried, but sometimes, like with this strange iron golem contraption, these things just either can't be destroyed, won't be destroyed, or People just die out before they can.
Yes. Unfortunate. Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, how did Ziemia come to find you? Out of
Ziemia understood what she was looking at, like that it was a mechanical contraption, and I'm not exactly what pegged her off, but she somehow, just by passing by, understood that I might have an understanding of mechanical contraptions. Mm. Ziemia gives like a wry smile.
I would have guessed that too.
Yes. I was very lucky that she stumbled upon you. Well, yes, please. I think we should make haste.
Absolutely. Well, in that case, there's not a lot I can do to help you, unfortunately. I can give you...
You've done more than enough.
I can give you... I've been cooking it up just over yonder. He gets up and goes over to the alchemy station. He picks up a bottle and brings it back to you. You want to be careful with this. It's a pretty potent acid. It should melt right through maybe about a foot of solid stone, providing there's no magical protections upon the stone. Like I said, be careful with it. Anything except this vial that it's in is liable to be destroyed on contact.
Right. Well,
you'll want to swaddle it in something so the glass doesn't break.
Yes. Do you have anything to swaddle?
He looks around. He picks up a tea towel and wraps it in a tea towel. Here you go.
Hey, thank you. I then want to look at some of the others to kind of be like...
Everyone else is eyeing it off with a lot of worry. Saren... Saren brings out... Saren reaches into one of her sleeves and then pulls out a handkerchief, which is tied to another handkerchief, which is tied to another handkerchief. And then after like several instances of handkerchiefs, she unties it, tucks the rest back in, and then hands you a string of handkerchiefs.
I'd clap, but I don't trust myself right now. Okay. I wrap it up and place it gently.
You bundle it very carefully and very carefully place it into your backpack.
Yes. I am the most, I guess, don't really want to trust tree stump with it. Chantal is in the front of the fray. Yeola is unpredictable at the best of times. Okay. And Saren is an unknown right now. Do we know if Saren is a frontline, mid-range,
or what do we know about distance? Saren?
Saren is kind of like a jack-of-all-trades, you might say. You are aware that Saren can cast some spells, some offensive spells, no healing. Oh, wait. No healing spells. But, Saren kind of has a little bit of magic, a little bit of combat, a little bit of singing.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Oh, no, Saren can do just a little bit of healing.
A little bit of healing. No worries. Okay, cool. Bit of jack-of-all-trades there. Mostly singer. Oh, that'll be very helpful for the young boy who needs a sword.
I thought so, too. I feel like I am very aligned with that mission.
I always forget what you talk like. It's always such a nice surprise. You must be a beautiful
singer. It's like a melody,
singer.
Really, to my ears. It's beautiful, 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 beautiful. Well, thank you very much.
I think you can trust yourself with it.
Oh, yes. I'll put that, yes. Thank you very much, Yim, and let's head
good
off.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yes, Yim. I think we're going to
have a nice garden.
Was that a threat?
What?
All right, never mind. All right.
Yim. She's very literal.
Oh, okay.
No, I can't read. Yes.
I see. Well, if you need a hand with that, let me know.
There you. All right. Do we need to wait till darkness, or do we have anything to cow you, say, Ziemia, to disguise yourself? I see. I think if the...
Why? Do they know it's her?
Well, she was chased by...
Farmers.
Townsfolk. I don't know. Is she going to be fine walking out in...
Unless they said they know it's her, I think that was just when she tried to warn them. They just chased her off. Afraid that she was some sort of crazy witch.
Oh, right. Well, also, the locusts, can you get them to not follow us?
Well, my influence with them is limited. I guess I could try to tell them a lie.
What? No, I meant with Zia Maria the locust. Are they going to...
Well, have any of them told you that they suspect her?
Not the locals, the locusts.
Oh, the locusts.
Locusts.
Oh.
Yes.
Ziamia nods. Yes. Wait, what do you want her to do with the locusts, sorry?
Well, I mean, if we start leaving out here and we're followed by a big cloud of locusts.
You come out into the house again. Ziamia nods and snaps her fingers. Every single locust dies.
Well, that was interesting. Are they not? What happened there?
She gestures.
You know what?
She she maybe does a little gesture and some magical sparks come out of her hand.
Oh. So were they magical locusts?
She nods.
Huh. Oh, like a swarm. Oh, like you summoned a swarm of locusts. Okay.
Yim looks at his dead locust-covered house and says, I'd like you to leave now.
So she just summoned a swarm of locusts and just packed all this poor note, and she could have dismissed them at any... This is beautiful. Yes, well,
I like her. Right.
Yeah, she's great. Okay, this is beautiful. Well, let's see if you're on.
You head off, and so you've been heading westwards so far. Now you start heading kind of north again. Ultimately, if you keep going along this path, you're going to hit those forests where you encountered the druid previously. But you know that your destination is not nearly that far away, or fuck, you hope so, I suppose. You get to the top of a nearby hill. And you are afforded like a beautiful view of the valley that Grey Hill sits within. You can see kind of distantly on the horizon, you can see the loping slopes and the square boxy shapes of what you assume must be Grey Hill itself. It must only be maybe 6 hours walk away.
Okay.
But you can also see much closer the farmsteads, the many farmsteads that make up this little valley. They would normally be quite pretty with their wavy fields of wheat, but right now, obviously, after the locusts, it is not a great sight. It kind of looks almost like it looks almost like an animal with mange.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not very pretty right now. You do briefly recognize Glupple. I think you were the only one who had this brainworm. But you do recognize Glupple. This is where Ziamia was standing when she wreaked havoc through the valley.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Ziamia gestures and you continue onwards with her.
Yes.
You, on the other side of the hill, there's a little stream. Nothing very big or powerful. Mm-hmm. Enough that you could imagine children would turn it into some fantastical location and not much more. It's a bridge to Terabithia sort of stream. That's what we're looking at here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And yes, while I maybe not agree with her means, I understand the ends. So let's head over.
You follow the stream for a little while, and the grassy hills start becoming a little bit more rocky. And eventually it becomes a little difficult to move. It's just kind of like the grass gives way to kind of almost mountainous terrain, although there is no mountain nearby to speak of. Yeah, as a druid, you kind of recognize that mountainous terrain where there are no mountains is evidence of some long forgotten, some ancient scar upon the earth itself. Something... You could not even fathom what it could have been, but you just understand that something no good happened here a long time ago.
So is it like, I don't know what happened here, but it could have been some sort of giant mechanical thing that kind of ripped through this land, or perhaps even some kind of like ancient lichy type evilly kind of bullshit. Like a magical
thing. It could
have
been like a million different things.
Yeah, okay.
All you know is that this is not right. This is not natural. Something caused this to happen. Some tremendous event must have occurred here.
Right. Is it a thing where something tremendously like bad happened like a millennia ago and now like nature's sort of coming back and doing its own thing?
Like
or
yeah.
is it like, oh, we need to, you know, speak for the trees because no one will speak for them right now?
No, this seems like an ancient thing that has come and passed.
Okay.
You could almost imagine maybe that there used to be long ago, the reason that this mountainous terrain is here, long ago there was maybe a mountain here, but some terrible event destroyed the mountain.
Ew.
And now it is here no longer.
Right. Or it could be like a dozen of other a dozen other different things,
lost
even
to
more
history, yeah. basically. But something
anyway.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. You're traveling through this terrain, and the stream cuts through it like a knife, wearing away at the rocks on either side of it, gentle but persistent over hundreds of years. You continue following the river. There's still some greenery and plant life and animals and stuff like that, but it looks like anything here that wants to live has to struggle a little bit. And it is slowly recovering, but slowly recovering. Eventually, Ziamia stops. The sun is beginning to set. She points at the sun and then like puts her hands up and makes like a
yes, sort of thing.
Yes,
we'll rest here for the evening.
She nods.
Okay.
Well. Chantel, Yeola, and Saren all agree. That would probably be a good thing.
All right. Well, we'll find somewhere that's a little bit safe. I guess we'll take watch.
I'll go first if you want.
Just how eventless will Big T's watch go? Find out next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.
This is a terrible idea.
Why have I
We're
done
scaredy
this?
Boys. Like, the premise is ridiculous.
Hi, I'm Damien Robb. Welcome to Scaredy Boys, a weekly podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies.
My mum was weird about what movies we watched. I was a coward as well, so yeah. I was like, no, enforce the law, mum.
I think I've watched three horror movies in my time, one of them by choice.
For a big old coward, I have seen a weird number of horror films.
Each week, we'll watch a spooky movie.
Well, I want to take this up to both of you, because both of you are like, oh, thrillers aren't horrors. Fuck, they are.
They are for us.
Try not to piss our pants. Were we scared?
Oh, easily, yes.
Yeah,
big time.
Is he going to die?
I'm a scared man.
My hands were pretty much covering my face the entire time.
Yeah, what point do you just give up?
Early.
And then figure out how the hell we'd survive.
I'll punch it up. No questions asked. I will band myself to a malevolent entity if it means I'm safe.
I've never been so arrogant in my cowardice.
I'm going to light a fire.
You say like it's a revelation.
I'll punch your grandma in the face if it's between us and dying.
Join me and my good pals, Tom Reed and Sean Carney, on this haunting adventure.
Scaredy Boys, available at sanspantsradio.com, Acast, and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I'm not getting fingered by any ghosts.